Let's talk about the Fast Fear release. All right, so let's spend some time talking about a very classic neurolinguistic programming strategy that's called the Fast Phobia Cure, which, before we actually launch into the content here, understand it's not quite for the sake of rebranding. It's not quite for the sake of labeling it as my own that from this point forward, we're going to refer to this process as being the Fast Fear Release. Because instead, the reasoning behind this little bit of changing of language is actually quite simple. When we look at accepted terminology, and understand this is a conversation that might be specific for those of us here in the United States, phobia is a medically protected word. So the working on helping someone to release a fear is not a medically protected thing, yet the word itself, much like depression, much like many other words, are medically protected. So the process is not, yet the wording is. So there's some anecdotes inside of this, and understand this is all coming across anecdotally. So there are things that I will share with you that understand have really come about just from my experience, and this is not a promise of any prevention of legalities, as it were. Though understand, now that I've said this though, knocking on drywall, the moment I wrap up shooting this content with all of you here today will become a moment where the first person who calls me on the phone will be an exception of what I'm about to say to you. And it simply is this: I have had clients over the years throw around that language of phobia. Yet I have yet to have, out of thousands of paying clients, a person that a medical professional has looked at and has deemed, you have a phobia. Instead, it's always been discussed as a fear. So here I am on the phone call with a client, and the conversation gets to, I have a phobia of speaking in public. I have a phobia of snakes. And understand, in terms of the conversation that I then have with them, it turns out that has not ever been medically diagnosed, nor has it actually been medically treated. So they're kind of anecdotally interchanging the words. These words often work our way into our vernacular. So just as the ultimate CYA, cover your ass strategy, I just don't use the word. So instead, I am working specifically on fears. Now, different countries, different locations, this will vary. It's just one of those best practices things I would highly encourage. Work on fears. Use the accepted terminology. The next bit of terminology to be aware of, though, is that the original, again, is the Fast Phobia Cure. And again, as a non-medical practitioner, I do not diagnose, I do not treat, nor will I ever claim to cure something. So again, let's update this language into our 21st century vernacular as hypnotic workers. And instead, from this point forward, we're going to refer to this as the Fast Fear Release. It's the same process. I'm going to share some nuances that I've kind of developed over the years, some things that I've also learned along the way, some resources that I'll reference for you as well that'll make the learning of this process so much easier. So let's take a few moments though and let's talk history, which means that it's time to break out some books. And these books will be mentioned as resources beneath this content inside of Hypnotic Workers as well. In terms of my research, the earliest display of this technique, this is a rather old book cover, but let's get the zoom in of this. This is Frogs into Princes with Richard Bandler and John Grinder. And inside of this book, I have cheated in advance and I've put a little bookmarker there. This is on page 109. Understand Frogs into Princes is not currently in print. So if you're going to find a copy, it's probably going to be as ugly as mine. You can see mine has all sorts of watermarks. The copy that I purchased, where is it, has all sorts of highlighting already in there. I actually love buying used books because chances are if someone has done exactly this, it completely ruins the physical value of the collector's item. Yet in many ways, it turns out what they're highlighting is generally good. So someone's done the first pass of notes for you. If you're a Kindle reader, Kindle actually will show you sometimes, oh, 190 people have highlighted this segment. So use books. So hop on Amazon, hop on half.com, abebooks.com, if I've got that one right, Advanced Book Exchange. You can typically find used copies of this, well, only used copies of this, for relatively affordable. Hey, original list price, $6.50. I think I paid maybe $20 for this copy. This is actually my second copy because I lent the first one out. And if you have my first one, I want it back. So page 109 for those following along. There are many, many useful ways of organizing the whole process called psychotherapy. One of the ways that is quite simple and therefore elegant is to treat every psychological limitation like a phobia. A phobia can be thought of as the paradigm case of psychological limitation. A person who has a phobia made a decision unconsciously, under stress, sometime earlier in their life in the face of overwhelming stimuli. Let's unpack that so far. So in the event of a massively stressful moment, what's the phrasing here? It's that of developing a decision unconsciously. So really what we're talking about is an anchored response. When this thing's happening, this is their reaction. So when it hits the fan and when enough is enough, to use one of my favorite phrases, suddenly the reaction, the safety mechanism, is to learn something rather quickly. That's what this process is about. Continuing on. They succeeded in doing something that humans often have a hard time doing. Ooh. They succeeded in doing something that humans often have a hard time doing. They succeeded in one trial learning. Every time that set of stimuli comes up again later in their life, they make exactly the same response. It's a remarkable achievement. You change over the years, and despite external contextual changes, you are still able to maintain that stimulus response arc. So how beautiful is that? And again, that whole section, Frogs into Princes, it begins on page 109, and I believe it goes through to 125. If you've got that book, buy it. It is fantastic. So let's unpack that there for a few moments. This is something beautiful that's happening, isn't it? Somebody is learning something really, really strongly under a set of stress, and let's call it a defense mechanism. Let's call it a safety response. And again, if we're defining hypnosis as being that automatic response in spite of conscious awareness, it's a wonderfully hypnotic experience, which again is often why I would say to a client on the phone who's calling for a fear, congratulations, you're already doing this stuff. I'm just going to show you a better way to do it. So inside of that process, again, read through the whole segment inside of Frogs into Princes. Learn the original applications of this. But again, it's that beautiful thing that I forget where I've learned this phrasing from. But chances are you've left your home at some point and you forgot your keys. Chances are you were going somewhere important and you did not have your phone. Chances are you were going to set up some sort of video shoot and you didn't know where your copy of Frogs into Princes happened to be somewhere in your office. Yeah, that happened. So as people, we have this wonderful ability to forget things. Yes, that's a resource that we can harness. Yet the phobic response, or from our language, the fearful response, what's interesting is it's something that it's a learned skill. Again, it's a learned skill. In the response to whatever stimulus was going on that was overwhelming, they learned something really quickly, and that's where the fear came into play. Now, the truth is, we do the same thing in positive ways all the time. You see that person you really love, and you begin to feel with that positive emotion. Suddenly, you're home, and here comes the dog barking, and he's happy, and you're happy to greet him. Here's the moment where suddenly you're running your business, and someone has purchased something online, and immediately you feel good because that's happened. The phone rings, the client books, you feel good. So again, we're constantly retraining new stimulus responses. The difference is with the fear, is it something that was learned rather abruptly, rather quickly, as a mechanism to protect you. And again, the magic of single trial learning. You learned it so well that it stuck. Let me give you some other resources here as well. This other book is Heart of the Mind by Connie Ray and Steve Andreas. Let me hold that one up for you as well. I believe this one is still in print, so you can easily find copies of it on Amazon. I believe it's also on Kindle. Don't quote me on that. But you can hop inside of Heart of Mind. There's a nice little outline of the Fast Phobia Method outline. You can see, let me zoom into that and get some focus on that. And that is on page 62 of Heart of the Mind, which breaks down the process rather efficiently and then walks you through several examples as well. By the way, this is an absolutely phenomenal book. If you do not have it in your library, don't worry, it's in your resources down below this page. Buy it. Yeah, it's an affiliate link, but it's a fantastic book. What's great about it is in the similar style of the older Richard Bandler, John Grinder books, it's written in a format as if you're actually there in the room learning it as well. Bit of an update, a book that is currently in print that I know, Richard Bandler, Get the Life You Want. Let me zoom into that one here for you. There's Bandler right there for you. And inside of this book, just to give you the reference, page 47, there's actually several strategies in this chapter. There's the Fast Phobia Cure Exercise, Laughing Away Your Fears. Again, just some outstanding resources to take a look at. So this little segment, first of all, is all about the opening frames and actually the premise behind the process. So let's draw something up here on the wall before we officially, very clearly, I've broken the process down into 10 easy to master steps. Oh yeah, and we're gonna break this process down. Now understand, there's always gonna be flexibility inside of this. And with all that we do, the original mechanisms, to learn the original, to learn the basic rules before we break the rules, as always, is one of my favorite premises. So let me draw something up here just to kind of set the stage for a moment, because this image here, very obviously, that's a movie theater screen. Clearly, yes, there's my skill. Which means, of course, this is obviously stadium seating. Yes, this is the movie theater audience where you can imagine there's all these seats you could possibly be sitting in. So you can be the one who didn't know you can actually buy your tickets online in advance and you're suddenly sitting in the first row watching the movie like this. Or you could be all the way in the back, or you could be anywhere in the middle. Again, there may be some play inside of that. So we've got three perceptual positions to play with here. We have the movie theater screen, we have in the audience watching it, and then we have this little area up here, which very obviously, that's the control center. Very obviously, that's the projection booth. So premise, let's go with the blue on this. With this premise, understand, we're setting an opening framework that we can place our client in either one of three different positions. And really the way you're going to see it work out, we can do it in one of three different positions, two different ways. I'll explain that in a moment. We can do it, first of all, where they're watching themselves up on the movie theater screen. So there they are watching the scene. Option number two is that they can be there in the audience, which from this perspective, what's going on? Here they are, they're not actually in the experience, but instead they're watching it. So that's the second position. The third option though, and I always want to frame this third position as being a position of control, being a position that they are now directing the scenes, calling the shots, ruling out how the thing plays out, which is that they can be up here in the projection booth running the show, which understand, to add an extra little rub inside of this, it's really the pattern of you watching you watching you. So it's not this interaction of up here to there. That may happen just by circumstance, but again, our language should be, so you're not even watching the movie screen. Instead, you're watching yourself down in the audience, watching yourself up on the movie theater screen. Now, I'll give you some options inside of this, because what's interesting is that, yes, it is 2017 at the time I'm shooting this content here, but understand this is getting to be more and more a bit of an outdated model. I don't think movies are going away anytime soon, yet the attendance of the movie theater audience has clearly been dropping to some degree. So they're having to, as I would phrase it, add in new tricks. So IMAX theaters, bigger quality, 3D movies, different little nuances, such as certain movies being a different style of projection, a different experience. So they're adding in more things to get people to come back to the movie theaters. And again, movies are still doing quite well, yet understand this is a model that is not as easy of a go-to. So, for example, you could easily change out this process to do the Fast Fear release process. You don't have to suddenly put your client into a movie theater. No, not at all. Because you can swap out the whole thing to be, this is a stage, and this is the audience, and then likewise as well, this is perhaps the control booth, the stage manager calling the scenes, very familiar to me. Which, if you're working with stage fright, if you're working with anything of that nature, that may or that may not be a good choice. You know, you don't want to immediately inject somebody into their fearful state. You'll hear me use this phrase in the next segment that I only ever want to go into battle when I'm fully armed. So rather than close your eyes, okay, now you're with a snake. Ah! Yeah, no, we don't want to do that. However, the premise of it, maybe the space is empty. You know, it's my phrasing that when all else fails, apply suggestion. So, mild rant. Some people would say that, oh, you can't ever do a staircase deepener because some people have fear of heights. Or you can't do an elevator deepener because of fear of closed spaces. Given the right hypnotic framework, you can make all of these work. Again, when all else fails, apply suggestion. So yes, I could inject you into that moment up on stage giving the presentation, and suddenly your hands are shaking, your palms are sweating, and your heart is racing. Whoops! Or instead, I can just, well, set the stage. So take this moment now and simply imagine that space in which you're about to speak. Yet imagine it's as if you're able to go in and you're able to have the whole room to yourself. There is not another body in that space except for you. In fact, in this moment right now, you can go into that location and everything is just right. The lighting is comfortable. The temperature is exactly what you'd like it to be. Maybe you're dressed in the way that you're going to be presenting. Maybe you're wearing something comfortable. There's no right, there's no wrong. Just place yourself in that experience and make it comfortable for you now. So with that little bit of phrasing now, I can stick you in that experience and it's not so much of a challenge. I'll share a modern update on this as well. Full credit to Andy Smith for this one. And I love this because it could be you're watching TV or you're on the TV, you're sitting on the sofa, or you're behind the sofa. Again, it's the same process. We're basically setting a premise of three different locations, which again, could be done two different ways. Associated and dissociated, associated and dissociated, associated and dissociated. So you can be in the movie or you could be watching the movie. You could be in the audience or watching yourself in the audience, in the projection booth, watching yourself in it. And some people will get into this nuance shortly. Some people, let's go with green on this one. It's all about color coding. Yay. Some people will even go so far as to put like a plexiglass screen in front of that if you really needed it. So understand, so far, we've just set some opening stages. We've set some opening framework. What's the process going to make use of? Well, first of all, we're going to make use of this framework to begin to navigate in and out of this fast fear release. We understand the history and the thinking behind it. We're harnessing single trial learning. We're harnessing something that at its core is an incredible unconscious skill to learn and integrate something rapidly. So in the next phase, we're going to break this down into the 10 individual steps of the fast fear release. And then after that, we'll go through some case studies and some troubleshooting as well.